You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, TGIF, everybody. It is beautiful throughout nearly all parts of Wisconsin. I hope you all are enjoying the gorgeous weather. I am looking forward to a little bit of Brewers action this evening. After clinching the divisional series and getting into the playoffs, I think it's going to be a celebratory atmosphere this afternoon at AmFam Field. But boy, if you are a baseball fan, wow. Shohei Ohtani of the LA Dodgers last night, absolutely lighting it up. Maybe the best baseball performance in the history of the game. My dad is probably screaming at his radio right now, telling me that Joe DiMaggio was, of course, better. Folks, we've got a packed show. I'll talk a bit about Shohei's incredible performance last night, putting together one of the offensive performances over an entire season. Maybe, again, the best in baseball history. We'll talk about it. Of course, we're going to talk about the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. Where did this guy come from? Did somebody forget to do a little Oppo research check before he was dubbed sort of the crown prince of the MAGA movement, other than J.D. Vance? Just moments ago, news breaking that Robinson not appearing at Trump's North Carolina rally this Saturday. He was planned to appear. We'll talk about that. We've got the Wisconsin Supreme Court taking up RFK's bid to get off the ballot. How's that supposed to work exactly? You're not dead, RFK. We've also got an appeals court tossing a Republican senator's defamation, I'm going to call it a bullying lawsuit, against a small media outlet up north. But folks, we've also got guests. You know I love to have a guest or two. I'm really excited because at 2:30, I'm going to bring on Milwaukee County Parks Director Guy Smith. I used to work with Guy. He's a fantastic person. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a parks director, the funding challenges that every public park system seems to be facing across the state. We'll be talking with Guy at 2:30. At 3 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Celinda Lake. She is an expert pollster. She's joining me for today's installment of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, because guess what? You matter. You matter a lot, as does every person in this country, in this state, that works for a living. Celinda's going to tell us all about it. And of course, at 3:30, one of my most favorite segments of the week, which is Good Local and Overlooked with Terry Barr, Civic Media's own. I can't wait to hear what Terry's got to share with us. I've got a few other tricks up my sleeve. And of course, we are rounding out week one of Civic Media's statewide text to win contest, where you can win the green or the gold. Of course, in the Dom Salvia Show's 4 o'clock hour, he's going to give you the secret word of the day. You've got to have the Civic Media app downloaded and ready to go. You're going to use the app to text that word of the day, or word of the hour. And that's going to get you entered to win either $100 or gold jewelry and enter you to win the grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Good luck. Get your phones ready. Get that app downloaded. You're going to text to win to go for the green and gold with Dom Salvia in the 4 o'clock hour. But holy cow, everybody, if you are a sports fan of any magnitude, and especially if you love baseball as much as I do, Shohei Ohtani's performance last night was incredible. People had been prognosticating about whether or not Mr. Ohtani was going to hit the 50-50 season. That means 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in the same season. He did that and more yesterday. Folks, if you had not been tracking Shohei's performance over the course of this season, last night's game was a perfect encapsulation, because not only did Shohei Ohtani hit the 50-50 mark, which is historic in its own right, he went 6-for-6. I mean, what? He went 6-for-6, and guess what he hit? 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, with 4 runs scored and 2 stolen bases in the LA Dodgers trouncing of the Miami Marlins 20-4. I don't even know what to say about that. And here's Shohei Ohtani, one of the great pitchers, had some injuries, went into the offseason. He's given reports saying he really wanted to work on his speed on the base paths, and that paid dividends this year for Mr. Ohtani and the Dodgers. I mean, holy cow. Again, they were playing in Lone Depot Park in Miami, Florida. He blasted his 50th home run, an absolute rocket into left field. And even the Marlins fans, they erupted in joy, chanting MVP, MVP. This is an exclusive, unheard of 50-50 club. Again, Shohei Ohtani really blasting through the record books this entire season. To put this in perspective, when Ohtani hit his 43rd home run and recorded his 43rd stolen base of the 2024 season, he became the only player in MLB history to accomplish these feats. Hitting 50-50 not only extends his record, but really places Ohtani in a class of his own. Last night, also breaking yet another record, Ohtani's milestone home run made him the Dodgers' all-time single-season home run leader, surpassing the 49 home runs that Sean Green hit in 2001. Again, just as a baseball fan, holy cow. Holy cow. That was some fun news to wake up to this morning. I wasn't watching the Dodgers playing the Marlins. I got to be honest about that. I watched the highlight reels on SportsCenter, folks. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening also to the Civic Media Radio Network. But let's talk about this North Carolina Lieutenant Governor, everybody. I want to hear what your thoughts are. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. In this age of Donald Trump, where almost nothing is now a disqualifying factor to run for elected office, is this guy actually maybe not supposed to be an elected official? I mean, who forgot to do the Oppo research on this guy? If you haven't heard the news, apparently North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson had some former posts to a porn site revealed by CNN just over the last day. He basically said he'd like to bring slavery back. Slavery was not all bad. I'd like to own a couple myself. He talked about the fact that he likes to see transgender porn, specifically transgender women and cisgendered women, that's what gets him going. It's so mind-blowing. And I guess the guy's response to all of this is that... no response. He just says to voters, you know my words, you know my character. Well, apparently we can read, sir. He also referred to himself as a black Nazi. So let's check the boxes here. Something about transgender porn, anti-Semitism, check. And pro-slavery. Is anti-Semitism, pro-slavery, and a penchant for porn disqualifying if you're a member of the Republican Party? I'm not sure. Apparently, CNN also reporting that Robinson wrote of being aroused by a memory of peeping women in gym showers when he was 14. He referred to himself as a perv. Those are Mr. Robinson's words. There were calls immediately for Mr. Robinson to stay out of the governor's race. He's running for governor in North Carolina. He has said he's staying in the race. He is not withdrawing. I mean, this is nuts. Now, Aaron, I understand that the Daily Show might have made a wee bit of fun. Do we have time to take a listen? Let's save that, actually, everybody. Let's save it. We're going to take care of a little business in a couple of minutes. But when something truly absurd happens, I often look to the Daily Show in order to fully put it in perspective and to try to find some humor in these absurd moments that we find ourselves. We're going to take that sound when we come back after these brief messages. What do you make of all of this? Is this beyond the pale even for the GOP, or in a post-Trump landscape, does anything literally go? Wow. An absolute bombshell dropping. Oh. And Donald Trump had some interesting descriptors for this gentleman back in the day. We'll have those comments from Trump as well. We're going to take care of a few messages. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. We got a great show coming up for you. You got the Civic Media statewide text to win contest to go for the green and gold coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Lots of great guests. We're going to get to the Wisconsin Supreme Court's consideration of RFK's bid to be removed from the ballot. And we may even have time to get to State Senator Corey Tomchick's bullying of a small rural media outlet. All yet to come here on this Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to be with you, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Back, Wisconsin and beyond, or welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, TGIF. If you're a Democrat, especially a North Carolinian Democrat, today might feel a little bit like your birthday, because the GOP in North Carolina apparently is a gift that's going to just keep on giving. CNN breaking news overnight that North Carolina Lieutenant Governor currently in a race for that governor's seat, has said some frankly shocking things. He has reportedly called himself a black Nazi. He has praised slavery, saying it should be brought back. It's not all bad. I'd own a couple myself. And he referred to having an appreciation of transgender pornography, referred to himself as a perv, and recounted a memory of peeping women in gym showers when he was 14. That's where we are at, folks. And keep in mind, North Carolina, an absolutely pivotal battleground state. Trump has won it twice. He's basically in a dead heat in North Carolina with Vice President Kamala Harris. And Robinson is running almost double digits behind his Democratic opponent, North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein. Now, also keep in mind this context. This reporting about Mr. Robinson's anti-Semitic comments, his endorsement of Hitler and Nazism, broke hours before Donald Trump was making comments at a meeting that was supposed to be about denouncing anti-Semitism. We're going to eventually play you some of the Daily Show's content, basically lambasting Lieutenant Governor Robinson. But boy, I think it's kind of important to also remember what Donald Trump has said about Mark Robinson. Let's take a listen. This is Donald Trump. Do we have this sound, Aaron? Donald Trump comparing. Yep. This is Donald Trump and his thoughts about what a good person and key leader Mark Robinson is.
And of course, it decided to crash right then. How fun. Of course, oh, now it's working.
Unbelievable. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. This is Martin Luther King on steroids. Okay. Now, I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two.
We love him. Well,
Mark Robinson.
He's doing good. He's got his own race up. He's fantastic.
Thanks also to one of the great stars of the party, one of the great stars in politics, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
One of the strongest and bravest new voices in the Republican Party. He's been a great supporter of mine, and I'm a great supporter of his. You're incredible, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Mark?
And this goes, we can wrap that up, Aaron. This goes on and on and on. So make no mistake, Mark Robinson is a Trump-backed, Trump-endorsed MAGA of MAGAs. He is proud to be a Black Nazi. Do we have this sound? Let's just take a moment here. He proudly calls himself a Black Nazi and wishes to bring back slavery. That is Donald Trump's BFF in North Carolina, a man that he thinks is the second coming of Martin Luther King. Or Martin Luther King on steroids, I guess, if we take the MAGA cult leader at face value. And all of this coming out the day that Donald Trump is supposed to be giving remarks to denounce anti-Semitism. But let's remember what Donald Trump thinks about Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, a Jewish man. Let's take cut 3.3, Aaron.
The Democrats are bad to Israel, very bad. They'll never change because they have a section of their party now which has become amazingly and quickly very powerful, vote-wise. I mean, Chuck Schumer is a Palestinian. Who would have thought that was going to happen? What the hell happened to him? I saw him the other day. He was dressed in one of their robes. No, that'll be next. No, Chuck Schumer is Hamas all the way. I don't know.
I mean, what? Since when does the waspy, born with a silver spoon guy get to determine who's Jewish and who isn't? And then Donald Trump said this yesterday when he was supposed to be condemning anti-Semitism. Let's take a listen.
But I will put it to you very simply and gently. I really haven't been treated right, but you haven't been treated right because you're putting yourself in great danger, and the United States hasn't been treated right. So if I don't win this election, and I've been very good, you know, they say Trump's been right about everything. I've been right about a lot of things. Even Ted will admit that. I've been right about a lot of things. A lot of things that a lot of people said, no, that won't happen. But a lot of bad things happened, and some good things I've been right about, too. And I only want to be, so I'm not going to call this as a prediction, but in my opinion, the Jewish people would have a lot to do with a loss if I'm at 40%. If I'm at 4, think of it. That means 60% of voting for Kamala, who in particular is a bad Democrat. The Democrats are bad to Israel, very bad. They'll never change because they have a section of their party now which has become amazingly and quickly very powerful, vote-wise. I mean,
and it goes on and on. Oh, the Jews are to blame if I lose. Again, this is the same MAGA cult leader that after the Charlottesville tragedy said that there were good people on both sides. You know, white supremacists and folks that oppose white supremacy. Those are good people on both sides. No, there's not. And here's Mark Robinson's response to basically being called out on what he said before. Let's take a listen. Again, this is Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, after the reporting by CNN, being called out on what he said online before in public forums. This is cut 12.1. Aaron, give me a thumbs up when you're ready to go, friend. And we'll take a listen to it. In effect, he deploys the Donald Trump strategy, which is like, of course that didn't happen, when obviously it did. It's been confirmed by numerous sources. And he basically says, no, that is salacious reporting. I've got the quote, even if we don't have the sound. Those are salacious tabloid lies. Let me reassure you that the things you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words. You know my character. Anytime somebody talks...
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Baby, can't you see? What's up, Wisconsin? Hope y'all are having a great Friday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, in what can only be deemed the most epic say what that I have heard of in quite some time. I promised you the Daily Show's take, because we all need a little levity on a Friday afternoon. So here is yesterday's Daily Show on the Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Republican MAGA superstar, in this version of Say What?
Let's kick things off with breaking news out of the North Carolina's governor's race, where the Republican candidate is Mark Robinson, a hardcore MAGA conservative who is on the record with statements like this.
There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth.
Ain't nothing but men and women. Ain't but two genders.
Wow, this is the worst Nutty Professor reboot ever. I mean, looks like this guy is pretty anti the gays. And if there's one thing history has taught us, is that when a politician is this outspoken about how gross gay and trans people are, there will be nothing in his internet history that will embarrass him at all. In 3, 2, 1.
Shocking new details about the Republican running for governor of battleground North Carolina. The state's current lieutenant governor, Mark Robinson. A CNN investigation finds that Robinson, for years, posted on a porn site starting in 2008.
In the form of the website Nude Africa, Robinson wrote, "I like watching young girl porn. That's hot. It takes the man out while leaving the man in. And yeah, I'm a perv too."
I guess there are more than two genders when it's time to jerk it. I mean, it says that right in the Bible, right? Like, if you couldn't read it, it's because the pages were stuck together. I mean, look, this is not going to play well with his base. His political base, not his other, the base of the...
And it goes on in true Daily Show form. But yes, this is the level of absurdity that we have reached. And given Mark Robinson's prior statements about the LGBTQIA community, you would think that the most appropriate response would be for Mark Robinson to humbly say, "I'm sorry, in my younger years, I said some stupid things," right? Some sort of contrite response. But no, We're in a post-Trump era. So this is what Mark Robinson did say.
Let me reassure you, the things that you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words, you know my character, and you know that I have been completely transparent in this race and before. Folks, this race right now, our opponents are desperate to shift the focus here from the substantive issues and focus on what you are concerned
your
with.
Your opponents, you can wrap that, Aaron. Your opponents didn't shift the focus, sir. Your views, your prior opinions came forward and you're now being held to account. But of course, it's all made up except that it's not. And it's been confirmed by CNN, by a number of sources. Strange times these. And so on Friday, let's turn the page and talk about something that all of us love on beautiful weekends like we've got in store for us all across the state of Wisconsin, which is some quality time hanging out in one of Wisconsin's many, many, many amazing public parks. Certainly here in Milwaukee County, our public park system is one of the envies of the Midwest, if not the country. Frederick Olmsted, incredible acreage, green space for all. And I'm so privileged and honored to have the guy that's in charge of that awesome responsibility joining us this afternoon, Milwaukee County Parks Director Guy Smith. Welcome, Guy. Thanks for making time.
Hey, Maggie, thank you for having me. This is great. I hope you're doing well.
I am, my friend. Of course, we used to work together, and I couldn't help but notice that Milwaukee County Executive declared it Guy Smith Day in honor of all your incredible work on behalf of Milwaukee County Parks. You didn't start as the Parks Director, Guy. You started in the Parks Department as no offense here, one of the you know, at an entry level, you've been working your way up for years. How long have you worked for the county park system, Guy?
Actually, 20 years. Anniversary was in July, and it's been a great journey. And it was a surprise to me that the county executive, David Crowley, did that proclamation. It was very, very thoughtful. And it was tied to an award that I received from the Kiwanis Club of Milwaukee. It's the Kiwanis Milwaukee Award, which was very, very exciting. And it was while I was at that luncheon receiving that I received that proclamation. And I thought that was pretty cool.
It's very cool. One of the things that I really appreciate about elected leaders like David Crowley, the county executive for Milwaukee County, is when they acknowledge that the people that work for them and with them really make it run, make it go. You always have the elected chief executive officer, but there's lots and lots, and in the case of Milwaukee County, thousands of people that help a county executive and a county board achieve their policy objectives. And certainly every single person that I know that lives in Milwaukee County is incredibly proud of our parks and incredibly thankful for them. And yet, Guy, it seems not just in Milwaukee County, but across the state, park systems are facing increasing obstacles, frankly, from a funding perspective, to keep providing the level of services that residents have come to expect from their public parks, as well as some of the baseline infrastructural and horticultural maintenance, the groundskeeping that attends to parks, everything from pools to bike pathways and hiking pathways, also preserving native flora and fauna. So the natural resources preservation. Guy, you've been in the Parks Department for 20 years. How much more tight is our funding situation these days as it was even compared to a decade ago?
Well, it's really challenging. So in the 1980s at Milwaukee County Parks, we had nearly 1,300 full-time staff. At the current state we're in, we're at about 300 full-time staff and about 600 to 900 seasonal staff. So we have a very large park system, and just like any system across the state, there's a lot that we maintain. So specifically at Milwaukee County, we have 153 parks, over 15,300 acres, and the system has about $500 million in backlog of deferred maintenance. Now, the positive thing is that entities such as the Milwaukee Parks Foundation, which was founded in 2019, has been able to pledge or fund $2 million so far, which is amazing. And we have 40 active friends groups that also help volunteering in our parks, helping with funding, things like that. And then there's partners like the Urban Ecology Center, the Peak Initiative, where they are directly contributing into our parks, educating people, doing upgrades in our parks and things like that. But you're absolutely right. It is a struggle across the state, no matter where you are, because we're a non-mandated service. And so that is the challenge. And so we continue to be creative with our revenue producing opportunities. We're always applying for grants. We actually just received $1.5 million through Inflation Reduction Act to create an additional forestry crew to focus on tree planting.
Congratulations, because each and every bit of help any public parks department can get, it is a tick on the right side of the revenue and expenses columns. Congratulations on that grant, Guy. If people across the state, folks in some of our upstate counties, in the western portion of the state, if they want to know what's going on in their county's parks department or in their public parks, what's a good way to find out? And if they want to get involved in potentially fundraising or volunteering to support parks departments, how should they go about finding out more about that?
Well, I would have them reach out directly to their parks department. And I will tell you that I was recently at an event with parks directors and park staff from across the state. And there are so many entities that are working on having friends groups, that have foundations, that are having volunteers. Like, for example, folks go to countyparks.com for Milwaukee County to find out how they can donate, how they can give back, how they can volunteer. But people really want to help. People are passionate about parks across our state. I mean, we have such wonderful natural resources. So I would say reach out directly to your parks department. And also, if you're aware, if they have a parks foundation or a friends group, those are great ways to get involved, volunteer, and really help folks out.
It's essential to community wellness to have these large green spaces and spaces for folks to recreate and hang out in. As Milwaukee County has rededicated itself, I think, to again, making sure that we're supporting our parks in the way that everybody expects and facing some of these revenue challenges. When you look at, even though parks are a non-mandated service, and part one of this is to tell everybody what a non-mandated service is, part two is forgetting whether it's mandated or not by state law, how important from a community wellness perspective, Guy, in your experience, is preservation of parks and making sure that everybody in a community, in a county, has a reasonably accessible green space that they can relax in?
Well, I think what is really telling is during the pandemic, I think all of us around the world, but nationally and within the state of Wisconsin and locally here, the usage of parks went up exponentially. I'm talking like we have trail counters on the Oak Leaf Trail, our multi-use trail in Milwaukee County. And we had segments that during April of 2020, 160% increase, like just astronomical. And even usage of our golf courses, for example, pre-pandemic, some of the numbers were going down as far as revenue and usage. Since the pandemic, usage and rounds and revenue have continued to increase. And I think across this country, people really found how important those green spaces were physically, mentally, spiritually, how important it is. And I think there's been kind of that renewed momentum and excitement that people have and really understand how important green space is. Even if it's, one square, like say we've got Cathedral Square and we've got Walker Square, Clark Square. They're very small parks, but they're in densely populated areas. And just that amount of space is so important for people to be able to gather.
I couldn't agree with you more, Guy. I lived alone during the pandemic. And so just the very nature of a park where while physically distancing, I could be outside and still see some actual other people and wave and say hello from a distance meant the world to my own wellness and mental health, frankly. That was a difficult time, I think, for so many people. Guy, briefly, what's the difference between a mandated and non-mandated service? And why is that so critical? How does that interact with our budgeting and fiscal challenges felt not just in Milwaukee County, but in nearly every county across the state?
Yeah, totally makes. Yeah, it's a great question. So here's the deal. The county acts as an arm of the state, and the state requires certain things to exist. So, for example, if it's Health and Human Services, whether it's the sheriff's department, whether it's corrections, things like that, all very important things. However, it does not require the fact that a parks department exists or that transit exists. So then when budgets are tight, unfortunately, those quote unquote non-mandated services tend to get squeezed. So that's why we have to be so creative to save and preserve what we have.
If you want to find out what's going on in Milwaukee County Parks, where should they check it out, Guy?
Go to countyparks.com.
Awesome. Happy Guy Smith Day. That's Guy Smith, Executive Director of the Milwaukee County Park System, my former colleague and all around great guy, pun intended. Have a great weekend, sir. And again, congratulations on your well-deserved acknowledgments. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a minute with more of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wisconsin, or welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. And it wouldn't be Friday without some interesting legal wrangling going on in Wisconsin over our upcoming elections. Today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed to consider independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s case as he seeks to have his name removed from the state's presidential ballot. What do you all think? Should he be able to get his name removed or not? What should the rules be when somebody petitions, gets the signatures, files the paperwork, gets on the ballot, and then later they're like, oh, no, actually, just kidding. I don't want to do that anymore. Should RFK be allowed to remove his name from the ballot? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The Supreme Court has set an expedited briefing schedule. As the clocks wind down for clerks to mail absentee ballots ahead of the November 5th election. So you may be thinking to yourself, like, Maggie, there's 45, 46 days until we hit the election. Plenty of time. There's not actually. I will tell you my own experience in helping to advise Milwaukee County and its clerk's office, which is responsible for printing and mailing ballots for virtually all of the municipalities, if I'm remembering correctly, in Milwaukee County, except for the city of Milwaukee. The ballot printing process is incredibly complicated because you usually have this disparate array of local elected offices that are also on the ballot that can be extremely specific and differ from ward to ward. So if you think about the hundreds of wards, the different voting precincts, and the different districts that for local and state elections people may reside in, it may be one district for a local election, they may be part of a different district for the state election and their neighbor across the street, yet another district. It is especially challenging. Of course, we're in new maps. And so all of that takes an incredible amount of care and precision and time. The printers of the ballots can't just zip out hundreds of thousands of new ballots overnight. Because again, all of this has to be carefully QC'd, accuracy of the utmost importance. So yeah, the clock is ticking here, which is why I found the conservative minority on Wisconsin's Supreme Court, their comments when the Supreme Court, led by its liberal majority, granted this petition for the court to hear the case, bypassing the Wisconsin Appeals Court, to be totally disingenuous, hogwash, and deeply troubling. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Justice Rebecca Bradley in dissent. The two are both conservatives, meaning they dissented from the Supreme Court granting leave for the Supreme Court to hear the case, again, bypassing the appeals court. Here is what Justice Bradley wrote. Process matters. The members of the majority sometimes enforce a rule against premature petitions, but sometimes they don't, without disclosing any standards by which they will choose whether to apply it. Such arbitrariness by courts is antithetical to the original understanding of the judicial role. The majority's arbitrariness and following its professed procedure in one case while disregarding it in another sends a message to litigants that judicial process will be invoked or ignored based on the majority's desired outcome in a politically charged case. There's an election coming up. So yeah, there's some time sensitivity here. It takes days for many municipal clerks to process and print ballots to get them ready for mailing. So yes, there's time urgency here. That is such hogwash from Justice Bradley. She knows damn well that there is time exigency here. That is why the Supreme Court would obviously take it up, which is mentioned repeatedly in the decision by the majority to take the case up. That is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. The sort of hypocrisy here by the conservative justices also is worthy of note. These two justices Bradley and Ziegler, repeatedly, when the conservatives had the majority on the court, granted expedited leave willy-nilly. When they had the majority of the court, they didn't set forth any standards by which early petitions or this taking of cases before an appeals court has ruled. They could have done so then. They could be suggesting rules now. And certainly one obvious rule would be if it is related to the most sacred of processes in our country, that is the democratic process. If there are exigent election deadlines coming up, the court will take those cases and make every effort to rule on them as quickly as possible, so that candidates and the electorate will know the rules before we play the game, if you will. And the problem here, of course, is that the game isn't just on November 5th. It's not just on election day. We don't just have an election day anymore. We have an election number of weeks because we have early absentee voting in the state of Wisconsin. So to these women, I say shame on you. And these two justices have written some of the most politically inflammatory opinions I have ever read in the history of the Supreme Court, which makes all of this all the more disgusting. Folks, I'm Maggie Gaughan. It is going to be the 3 o'clock hour after we take care of some of our business, which means it's Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Really excited to be joined by pollster Celinda Lake, because you matter. Your vote matters, and it's time we tell billionaires and millionaires like Eric Hovde and Ron Johnson and Donald Trump exactly what they think, what we think about their rigged tax system for their rich buddies. I say no more. We'll have that discussion when we come back after the top of the hour. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.